So we left off yesterday trying to understand this Tosis. Tosis was working with a big problem. The problem is that the Mishnah talks about the Chiyuv Kisabola Kusis, and Tosis discovered a Gemara in Kedushin that says that there's a miut, that some of the Kusios, the ladies, are still in the book. Some of the Kusios ladies are Chashash of Shivcha. She's a Shivcha, and Tosis says the hand down is not going to be a Knas. So how could you ever be Mechayev a Knas? Tepuglei, Enoch Mom Nacharo. Then Tosis made the kash even stronger. It's not even a rov. So we spent most of this year on Sunday trying to figure out, is that a correct application of kavua? Is that a questionable application of kavua? Well, we're leaving that on hold, leaving the kavua picture out of the part of the picture out for a moment. We're going back to the main question of Tosis. The fundamental question of Tosis was, is that, wait a second, Enochem Mamracha rov. That was the big problem of Tosis. So Tosis searched and searched and searched and finally came up with the following conclusion, that this is an exception to that rule because there's something else on this girl's side, and that is the chazaka. We had a lot of work yesterday to figure out where's the chazaka, who's the chazaka, chazaka of the father, is that a good chazaka, not a good chazaka. So we had a lot of technicalities with Tosfos, but finally, we put together all the pieces and we said, Tosfos shita clearly is that rov and chazaka together must combine to be mitzi mamon. So then we just pointed out that it doesn't fit nicely with Tosfos in the second barak, so we got out of that also. We spent most of the last 2 days getting out of problems. That's what we try to do our best. So we finally stuck with this. We're left with this Taiz Shita. The Rov and Chazaka, if the Rov is a good Rov, and the Chazaka is a good Rov, everyone meets the criteria of their appropriate Klolim. Rov and Chazaka together combined to be Maitzi Mamam. So we left off with the Kasha at the end of the Shia yesterday. We don't know why that should be so. Because Ein Hochem Mamnach HaRov teaches us that you need Lotze Chaver Lav Haraya. That's the way the Pnei Yeshua formulated it. Or Pishnai Meidim Yochem Dovah. That's the way Sheshmaitza formulated it. So if Ein Hochem Mamnach HaRov, so then the corollary of that should be Enochem b'mamon acharov, Enochem b'mamon achachazokas, Enochem b'mamon acharov v'achachazokas combined together, short of to aid him, short of a raya bruach and let shuva, which translates to mean to aid him, you should never be able to mitzi mamon. So we're back to square one. We spent so much time yesterday on creating this chazoka. We spent so much time yesterday on emphasizing tesis from the second parak. We're right back where we started. We still don't understand what's going on. We're mamish back where we started. How does Rov and Chazaka combine together? So Rav Isai, as we pointed out at the end of the show yesterday, obviously the direction we have to go is we have to go back to Enochem Mamnach HaRov, and we have to ask ourselves a very, very hard question. Why is this statement true? Five words. Enochem Mamnach HaRov, Shmuel, Gevald, Chiddush, Six Pechel Bevel Basra, Third Pechel Bevel Kama. Why is that Enochem Mamnach HaRov? The approach of the Pnei Yeshua and the approach of the Sheshmaitz are not going to help us. We have to start searching for something else. So there is a Tosfos, I think I put on the Maamar Kamos, meaning the third Pechel Bevel Kama, where Tosfos throws out a phrase, a very confusing phrase, and trying to explain a little bit why Enochem Mamnach HaRov. You got a Bevel Kama here? He's that man. Give me extra credit. Give him a freebie on the first Bechina. Okay. Tema matam in Ochin says, what's going on? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So Taisa says, Gabishar Momon, the Ikamiut Vechazoka, Loazlina Bosaruba. Not even two lines of Taisa, one line and a half of Taisa. The reason why Enochem Mamnach HaRov is because against the robe you have a miut combined with the Chazoka. That's the reason why. What in the world is Tosfos talking about? So when you read this Tosfos, that there's a, against the Rov, there's a Miut and a Chazaka, just answer the question quickly. What's the Miut? We know what the Miut is. What's the Chazaka? What Chazaka is Tosfos referring to? What's the Chazaka that's against the, it doesn't matter what the case is. It doesn't matter whether it's Baba Kaaba, Baba Basra, whether it's Ksubis. I have a good Dim Torah. I have a Rov against you. Let's go back to the case of Knas. We're learning Ksubis, why not? So Ruvain is brought to a Din Torah. Shomrona brings him to a Din Torah, and she says, you owe me the money. And he turns around and he says, not so fast. There's a miut, maybe you're a shivcha. So what else does Reuven have on his side besides the miut that she's a shivcha? He has a chazaka that the money used to belong to him. For the last 20 years, the 50 shekelim have been sitting in his wallet. She's trying to get the money away from him. So all of a sudden, Reuven turns around and says, I have two things on my side. I have a miut, that maybe you're a shivcha, that's number one, plus I have a cheskas No, but again, before Tysus introduced to us that there's another chazak on the table, leave that out for a minute. So comes the din of Enoch HaMomacharov and says, well, you have combined together the miut, the baby shizah shivcha, plus chaskis mamon, which is kind of like a chazaka, right? The money used to belong to me, so it probably still belongs to me. These two things combined together, this is the source for the principle of ein holchin b'mamon acharav. That's how Tysus seems to formulate it. Now, when you read this Tysus, you know, if you just read it superficially, he says, hey, great, sounds good. Enoch HaMacharov, right? It's two against one, basically. He has a miut and a chazak on his side. Shamrona only has a wad on her side. What does she have on her side? Only a robe. So two is greater than one, right? What's his name? Where's that pal? Weinbach. Okay? That's for the old timers, okay? Weinbach. It's called the Weinbach line. I can't even begin to fathom how to explain that line to you. So just part of the sheer annals of history, they'll fill you in later. Okay. We used to have a guy in the shiur. His name was Weinbach. Okay? So for some reason, I don't even remember how it happened, every time we drew one of these carrot signs on the board, so he was the one, how did it happen even? I don't remember what his, I don't know, this was like his line. He was the one who was telling us, because I can never remember which way the carrot goes, whether it goes, this is the bigger or this is the smaller one. You're back in my third grade at math. So Weinbach would always stand up and he would inform me which way to draw the carrot. So this became known as the Weinbach equation. He's been out of the shiur for about 5 years already, but he's gone down in the history of the shiur. Okay. If you say something smart and shiur, you'll also become part of our shiur history. Rav Oisai, l'chora, this din of Enoch HaRom HaRov is simple math. It's mamash third grade math. Two is greater than one. That's what it sounds like. Not so fast, Rav Oisai. Not so fast at all. We can't just take Tysus at face value. We didn't take Tysus and Ksubas at face value. We can't take Tysus and Mavakam at face value. Why? Because Yadua Umeforsam. There is a machloikas hatanoim between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon when you have two principles that clash together. If you have, forget about momentus for a minute. Issa v'hetra. On the one hand, you have a rove. Rove is pointing in one direction. On the other hand, in the other direction is pointing a what? Is a chazoka meikara. Status quo used to be such and such. Let's say for argument's sake, it used to be mutter. For the last 20 years it was mutter. Now we have a latest asafik whether something changed. So the chazak is pointing in the direction of mutter. It happens to also be a row. Statistically, there's an 80% chance that this is taka asa. What do? You have a clash between two klalim in halacha. So this is a clash between two psukim, between the pasuk of Achiram Mahatos, the Parshas Mishpatim, and what other pasuk? Ba'is Menugin, Parshas Mitzrayim, right? So what do? You have a row on one hand, and you have a chazak on the other hand. So it's tamashah and this is the heter. Where do you do? Where do you go? Who's going to tell me? What do you do? Forget about Momentus. We're learning Yisrael Heter now. Okay? So you have Rov, let's say for argument's sake, Heter, and Chazocha, or vice versa. It doesn't really matter. Either direction. What do you do when you have a clash between a Rov and a Chazocha? What do you do? Anyone know? So Rabbi Meir says, Smoch miyuta lechazocha, v'isra l'ruba. Rabbi Meir says, well, even when you have a rove, there's still something else. There's a rove leheter, but built into every rove leheter is also a what? There's a miut leiser. So now you have three different factors on the board. You have rove pointing in the direction of heter, miut pointing in the direction of iser, chazaka pointing in the direction of iser. You do the math, says Rabbi Meir. You go back to third grade. My daughter started third grade today, so I'm very, very focused on the third grade dimension, okay? So, of course, you only have half a day today, which of course throws off my entire day. Why? Because we don't want to pressure them too much to have too much school at once. So what, they've been on vacation for 4.5 months. But okay, fine. So, here, Rabbi Meir says, you have Rove Iglaheter, but you have Chazaka pointing to Isser, and Amir pointing to Isser. So two is greater than one. Therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir formulates the following principle called Smaich Miuta Lechazaka. So basically, according to Rabbi Meir, it comes out that a chazaka, in a sense, is going to carry the day, either to create a suffix or a vada. Again, it's a complicated situation, but not for now. Bottom line is, according to Rabbi Meir, you can't just follow a rove. You can't just say, well, it's mutter because you have a rove, because according to Rabbi Meir, smoich miuta lechazaka v'isul aruba. And the Rabbanan turn around to Rabbi Meir in the end of Maseches Kedushin, out of the sixth parak of Maseches Chulin, and they say, no, it's not true. You don't say smoich miuta lechazaka. What do you say? What's the Rabbanan's formulation? Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. The Rabbanan say that we view the miut as command delay sadami, Okay, very your day-ish type of suggestion. We view the miut as if it doesn't exist, and Rov carries the day. Rov is greater than a chazaka, and therefore, Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif. We're going major machlekes after 9. We're not going to focus on right now what the nekudas of machlekes is, what the lumbus is. There's a lot of lumbus on this, but not for now. So comes Tosfos and explains in Baba Kama that the din of Ein Holchin b'mamanach harov is based on what principle? What did Tosfos say? How did Tosfos formulate it? Tosfos said you combine together the what? The miut with the cheskes mamon, and that overrides the rov. Does that sound right to you? Sounds like Tosfos is quoting who? Sounds like he's quoting Rabbi Meir. That's not the, I mean, we love Rabbi Meir, but that's not the right person to be quoting. We don't pass like Rabbi Meir, we pass like the Rabbanan. We pass in Yisavahet, the Rubu Chazach, Rubu Adif. So everybody read that Taizim Bava Kama, right? I put it on the Bar Mikra, that Taizim, right? So everybody read this Taizim Bava Kama, and you read these words that say the reason why in Ocham Mamra Charev is Vika Miut V'Chazach Alo Azlina Basa Ruba, and everybody should have screamed, what do you mean if not true? That's Rabbi Meir, but we don't follow Rabbi Meir, we follow the Rabbanan. Who realized that Kash when they read the Taizim? Who's been in my shiur before? Did you realize the kasha, Ashi? Should have realized the kasha. Right, Dr. Verma, come on, realize the kasha. From Yavamis days, right? Come on. From Yavamis, how much time did we spend in this back in Yavamis days? So Rabbi say, this is a bomb kasha. This is a very, very serious problem. What in the world does Tosfos mean? That Smoich Mitla Chazak, and that's the source for Enoch Mam Lecha, right? That's Shalaki Alocha. We don't follow Rabbi Meir. Mitei Chaymei Akushia, Mistama, what Tosfos meant is as follows. Even though it's true that we do paskin Rubi v'chazaka, Rubi adif, and we reject the idea of smach mit l'chazaka, comes Tosfos in Maseches Bechairis, in the beginning of the third parak of Bechairis, we'll go Tosfos tomorrow, comes Tosfos in the beginning of the third parak of Bechairis and says, v'med devar mamurim, that we reject Rabbi Meir. That means we're not going to invoke Rabbi Meir l'kula. We're not going to say smoch mit l'chazaka to create kulas like Rabbi Meir himself does. Because mid the araisa, we really believe that rubi v'chazaka rubi adif. We believe in lomdus that miyut is kemandalei sedami. The miyut doesn't exist. And mid the araisa, you follow raiv. But, zok taisis, based on a complicated raiv beyond the scope right now, comes taisis and says, but on a level of derabonon, v'taras chumra, we are going to say we're not ignoring Rabbi Meir entirely. We're ignoring Rabbi Meir on a level of the Araisa, but lemaisim Shulchan Aruch, lechumra at least, when it causes us problems, we're going to invoke Rabbi Meir Shita. We do agree to some degree to smach mit lechazocha. Comes the Pri Begadim, it says it's only in light of that Tosfos in Maseches Bechairis that we can make any sense out of the Tosfos in Bava Kama. When Tosfos in Bava Kama says Smeich miyut lechazaka, the Israel of Ruba, and that's the reason why Ein Ocham b'mamanach harayiv. What Tosfos is alluding to is their sheet in the third parak of Bechairis. You got to be a prima godim to see this. You got to read the Tosfos of Bava, know Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. You got to appreciate the Tosfos of Bechairis, and then you can open up the Tosfos of Bava. So said, as a prima godim, Nukal Tarkula. That's what he did. He was a malami tinei because he taught third grade. He taught little kids in school, but on the side he wrote the prima godims in your there. So comes the after hours. So come if they check the little spelling test. So comes the Prima Godim, and he says, what Tosfos in Bava Kama just said was an eye-opener. Tosfos in Bava Kama just told us the principle of Ein Holchin b'mamanach harov is not a what? Is not a din what? Not a din what? It's not a din deraisa. Mid deraisa, you follow raif. Mid deraisa, why is mamanach any different than anything else? It's not a din deraisa, it's a chumra, so to speak, mid derabanan. It's a made-up, brand-new din midirabanan. It's part of the halacha of being chayshish Rabbi Meir. Part of that takana chachamim was that we don't want to rely on Rav against chazaka. We like the idea of smach mil chazaka, even though in a pure world deraisa, it's not true. In the deraisa perspective, Rav beats out chazaka. Midirabanan, Rav doesn't beat out chazaka. Therefore, we're going to run dinei Torah based on that principle. This is an eye-opener, a tremendous chiddush. So it comes out that according to the Prima Godim, Ein Hochem Mamanach Arayv is very, very different than according to the Sheir Shmaitz and the Pnei Yeshua. According to the Sheir Shmaitz and Pnei Yeshua, Ein Hochem Mamanach Arayv is a real din d'araisa, that the Torah sets up a certain standard that's necessary to be Maitzi Mamon. And the standard is, whether you formulate it like the Pnei Yeshua, Motzach Havei Lav Ha, Raya, whether you formulate it like the Sheir Shmaitz, Al Piwa, Anything short fails. According to the Prima Gadim's version, his understanding of Tosfos, Ein Hochem Amonach Arayv, it's not a din deraisa. It's a din midrabbanon that we're going to make believe that we're going to follow Chazakas even in the presence of a Rav, even though midrabbanon really shouldn't. And we're going to say Smechim with Chazakas, we're going to treat it like a Safik, we're not going to be Maitzim Mom. That's how the Prima Gadim formulates this din. If that's the case, if that's what's really going on here, that Ein Hochem Amonach Arayv is just a Tzachumah midrabbanon because we have an equation on the board that 2 is greater than 1, so Miyut and Chazakah start to combine together, what would the halacha be if you throw another factor into the equation? What if there are 4 factors on the board? What's the 4th factor? So one person has a Miyut and a Chazakah on their side, the other person has a Rove and what else? They also have a Chazakah on their side. So let's play it out now. Let's get our 2 friends back into the story here, okay? We have the Ma'anes, we're going to call him Reuven. Okay? Reuven's fighting it out with Shomron again. Back to the Mishnah of Tesamid Aleph, okay? Reuven saying, I'm not going to pay. Yes, I was Ma'anes you, there's no question. The 2 Edom said I was Ma'anes you. I'm not so sure that you're a Bas Yisrael. I think that you may be a Shivcha. And she says, what are you crazy? I'm not a Shivcha. So let's go. Let's hear it out. No, who's representing Reuven in this din Torah? Who's representing Shimon in this din Torah? No, who's going to dramatize it for me? So Reuven's saying what? Reuven's saying, I think you're a Shivcha. Now, Shimon says, what do you mean I'm a Shivcha? 90% of our family, 90% of our Kusim are not Shvachas. So she's got a robe on her side. Okay? So who's going to tell me? What does Reuven respond to her? But there's a what? Well, the first thing he responds is, well, there's a miyot. So she says, a miyot? You never thought you were a daya. Ruben chazach and ruben adif, right? What are you talking about? No, I said the word thing. I didn't even say chazach. It's all right. Rove, I have a rove and you have a miyot. You don't know how to add. You never went to first grade. You said, I have a 90% chance that I'm entitled to the money, and you have only a 10% chance that you're entitled to the money. So what does Ruven immediately say to her? He says, lady, you don't really know how to learn because I have something else on my side. What do I have on my side? Which according to Tosfos is tantamount to saying what? What's on his side? Cheskes Mamon, right? So he's got now on his side a Cheskes Mamon, which means that the money used to belong to him, right? So it's a Mir plus the Cheskes Mamon together beats out the rope. Oh, be a Bidurabonin, okay? Bidurabonin, right? There's a Prima Gadim, Baba Kama, Tosfos Baba Kama, Bidurabonin. We're going to give in to the Prima Gadim for a minute. So it sounds like he's got the upper hand of the Din Torah, right? No. What does Shimrona respond with? What does she have? She happens to have a what? Chazaka Meikara, thanks to Rabbi Chanan, right? Rabbi Chanan explained to us how she has a Chazaka Meikara. It's really her father's Chazaka Meikara. She borrows it, right? She steals it from her father. Whatever it is. Zolzayin. She figured out she got a Chazaka. So now, let's look at the Din Torah again. You guys are Dayan. Everyone here sitting on the case, and they're listening. Now, Reuven, neither Reuven or Shimron probably know these sugyas. Reuven's a Menuvel Shimron Uvalim, he was Ma'ane Sekusis. She didn't exactly go to the Yaakov of a Harag Rizim, so nobody knows anything, right? The 2 Amaratsim screaming at each other. But we are sitting here on the Din Torah analyzing this. We are learning Ksubis, and we're trying to make sense of what's going on over here. So if you really break down the Din Torah, what's really happening in between all the screaming and yelling and fighting and kicking, what's really happening are 4 different principles in halacha that are playing out against each other. If I say, who's got the upper hand in this Din Torah? Who's got the upper hand? Do the math. Chazaka meikara against Cheskes Mamon. What do you do? Well, does the Chazaka, does the Chazaka. So what do we do with it? We throw this out. What does she have? It's a Rove against the Miyot. Now, Rove against the Miyot really wins, says Taisim of Akama. The only reason why Ein Hochem Amonach Arayv is because you also have a Cheskes Mamon. But this Cheskes Mamon was just undone by her Chazaka meikara, which is exactly what Taisim just said. And that's exactly what the Mishnah says, that she gets a Knas. I ask you, Rabbi Yisrael, didn't you see this in Tosfos coming? This is exactly what Tosfos just said. Tosfos asked the Kasha, Ein Hochem Amonach Arayv, and Tosfos answers, no, that she has a Chazaka Meikara also. So how do you understand that? How does that help? How does that solve the world's problems? According to the Shev Shmaitzeh, it doesn't. According to the Peshua, it doesn't. The only way to make any sense out of this Tosfos, this is Tosfos' theory, this is Tosfos Shitas Baba Kama. This is the Prima Gadim speaking through this Tosfos. That Reuven and Chazaka combined together in the following manner. Har Chazaka Meikara, knocks out his chazaka, meikar, cheskes, mammon. So the two walls clash against each other, they kill each other, they're gone. So all chazaka, meikar are off the table. Now you have a regular rov against the miyot. Good. Says Taisus, when you have a rov against the miyot, it's a rov, beats out miyot. The only reason it doesn't beat out miyot is because it's a chazaka meikar with the miyot. That chazaka meikar was just done away by his, by her chazaka meikar. That's what's going on in Taisus. No? Everyone read this Taisus? No? You didn't see this in Taisus? How can you not see this in Taisus? Who here saw this Taisus? Everyone read this Taisus. You just have to read the Taisus in Ksuvus through the eyes of Taisus Baba Kama, through the eyes of Taisus Mecheres, through the Prima Gada. Fit all the pieces of the puzzle together. The whole thing makes perfect sense. Nothing's impossible. We could say, you tell me you want me to say it, I'll say it.
Tell that the Shemites are also masking when you're going like Tyson Lovakama, when you're going against the Mokzokas, but if you had something to cancel out the Mokzokas, so then they're right. Okay, maybe.
What? Come on, we didn't get to the Kavua part of the story. We forgot the second half of Taisus. We didn't even get where is Taisus forgot the second half of Taisus. Taisus solving the end of Amon Rachmo, they totally left hanging the Kavua story. That's the next part. No. We have to come back to Kavua. Leave out Kavua for a second.
Could you say that in this case, even if we didn't bring up Kir Chazaka Meikara, that we say that the Fee of Prima Gada, you only follow the mayor when it's the Chumash. Right? In this case, though.
So Mamanis, how can this play out of Mamanis altogether?
No.
Once Chazal formulated Enoch Mamanach Harov, so that they left, that's the Takan Socham. Enoch Mamanach Harov. I don't think so. Well, Mamanis is always a problem, because Mamanis is never Chumash and Kula. So the whole Prima Gadim is Shver. How could there ever be a din of Midir Rabbanan? But the Maestro Prima Gadim says it before. He quotes that Taisus. He claims that's what Taisus say.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a problem. So you're asking a good question, but it's not a Ksubas Chavtes question. It's a general question. How could the Prima Gadim pull off such a stunt? What happened to Chumras and Kulas and Mammon? This whole thing doesn't make any sense. You're right. Right. But the Maisa, the Prima Gadim says it, but that's the Taisus. So Rabbi Say, getting back to that story. We have a Bir Hadover. We had a Kasha. Enochim Amrach Arayv. Forget the Kabul for now. We had a Kasha. Enochim Amrach Arayv. We spent a lot of time explaining away what Taisus means. Yesterday we had to explain where the Chazaka is, and today we had to explain how the Chazaka and the Rov combine together. So at least we have a beer, we have a Mahalach. Rabbi Say, it should be obvious to everybody here that this Taisus, this Teretz of Taisus, is not what we call glatt. It's not like Poshet, it's not smooth, it's not obvious. There are a lot of things that went into this. You think Taisus is just sitting around one day and asked his kasha and just said, okay, yeah, great, Ruva Chazaka, you know, moved on to the next line. You can imagine how much time Bali Taisus sweated over this, how much time they worked, how many Talmidim screamed over this, how many fights there were in the Beis Medrash to try to figure out if this is a good Teretz, not a good Teretz. There's a tremendous Chiddush Taisus. There's so much in this Taisus. It took us 2.5 days to understand the kasha and the Teretz. There's so much in this Taisus. Rabbi Say, could we suggest other Mahalchim to solve Taisus' dilemma? Not to have to invoke Chazaka, not to have to get involved with Rabbi Chanan's Chazaka problems, not to have to get involved with Prima Gadim and Reuben and Chazaka together. Could we somehow answer Taisus' Kasha in a different manner? Let's go back to Taisus' Kasha again. His original Kasha was, why are you paying the Kanas? What are you paying the Kanas? It's only based on Rov and Ein Hochem Mamnach HaRov. We are going to suggest that maybe if you take a different look at Enochim Mamnach HaRov, maybe if you put the brakes at Enochim Mamnach HaRov in a totally different way than Taisus does here, maybe the Kusha Mekar Lesa. What I'm going to sell to you is that Taisus only was bothered with the Akasha, and they only had to make up the Rov and Chazaka together, and they only got us down this path because they had a certain understanding of Enochim Mamnach HaRov. If I could regroup and recalculate and start all over again and tell you Ein Hochem Mamnach HaRov is not as cracked up as you thought it was. It's not as great as you thought it was. Ein Hochem Mamnach HaRov is very, very limited in scope. Then maybe I could solve Taisus' dilemma without going all the way down this route of Chazaka and Rov. I don't want to disappoint anybody, but tell you we wasted a whole day in Shia yesterday. We didn't waste anything. This was Tairihi, Alamda, Nitzarech. Hopefully, Pupulah Shulta. I hope everyone enjoyed. I hope everyone enjoyed the first half of Shiur today also. But forget everything we talked about for the last day and a half. Okay? Put it in your back burner somewhere. Don't forget it from the Bechina. Those who have to take the Bechina, those are freebies, okay? But those who figure out how to get new batteries for the clock, we also get a couple of freebies. But Rabbi, so far so good. Rabbi, I want to forget everything for the last day and a half. Don't worry, it's not about leisure, Shechas HaTorah, the Tzorech Talmud. I want you to rethink again. I want to put us back in time, back in history, to the original Kasha of Tosis. Back to Sunday Shia, for those who were here. Back to Sunday Shia, when Tosis first formulated the Kasha, tape of Le'e Noch Vamrach HaRayv. Rabbi Yisai, we need to know a little bit more about Enochim Vamrach HaRayv. Not so much how it works, like we spoke about in the past, but Yeshua and Sheshmait says, but I want to know, is that really true? Is there really such a principle called Enoch HaMacharov? Is a principle of Zakfira? Never read Shmuel. Shmuel didn't say it in the third paragraph of Akkadim, Enoch HaMacharov. Yaduam Mefursam. All the Rishayim are bothered with. Tyson and Hedron on the Mamre Kemis. I didn't put it on. I should have put it on. Yaduam Mefursam. There's a big problem with this principle of Enoch HaMacharov. You know what the problem is? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, in the beginning of the 8th parak, that holchin b'nefosh v'sachar raif. You could kill people based on raif. You could put somebody to death based on the principle of raif. Give me an example. I'll give you an example. The Gemara has three different scenarios. I'm going to give you one that may fail on technical reasons. I don't want to get involved in the technical reasons. I'm going to give it because it's the easiest of the examples for our purposes. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the beginning of the 8th parak, proves to us, or tries to prove to us, that you can mamish put somebody to death based on a raif. You have a little girl who's an eishes ish. How does she become an eishes ish? Follows the kabbalah kedusha for her. So she's mamish an eishes ish gemur mideraisa. Someone's mezana with her. She's a little girl on the bas mitzvah. Someone's mezana with her. What's the din? She's for sure ptura, but what? It's amazing. It's chayim mispeizim. We're going to put them up. I don't remember the chumash. This expasha. Right? Well, sinners. Chayvim Mrs. Beisdin. Comes the Gemara and says, really? How do you know she's an Ishish? Maybe she's an islandess. Maybe there's something radically wrong with her body, that she's not formed properly as a woman. And therefore, the original Kedushin was a Kedushin Tos. There's no way to know that until she gets older. When she's 5 years old, you cannot tell whether she's an islandess or not. To be determined later. It may turn out, if you wait it out for another 10 years, you may come to the realization this girl is an islandess. If she was an islandess, who's going to want to marry an islandess? If he was Makadisha, it was a Kedusha Tos. So it turns out she's not really an Ishish. So when the person is Mazana with the 5-year-old girl, we're going to put him to death for Ishish. How can he do that? Let him come to Bezin and scream, maybe she's an islandess. Says the Gemara, no. You know why you don't? That's not a problem. You know why? What does the Gemara say? Why is it not a concern? Why does it not interest us? Most girls are not islandesses. 99% of the people out there are not islandesses. So since she's most probably not an islandess, you heard those words? Most probably not an islandess, we will put this guy to death based on the robe that she's probably not an islandess. Very Shagamon, the 8th Brach of Sanhedrin. Kum Taisis, in Sanhedrin, the Gimel, beginning of Sanhedrin, yes, I understand. You kill somebody based on Rav, didn't the fush as you follow Rav, and did a moment she give me multi a couple of bucks from somebody based on Rav? What kind of loch is that? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. In Hochum and Nacharov, but Hochum did a fush stacha Rav. That's Taisus Kasha. Now who could figure out what the answer to that Kasha is? Okay. So what you're suggesting is already a beginning. I don't know if I'd use the word muta, but you're going in the right direction. Taisus and Edmund says, Al Korchach, what you have to say is as follows, that when the Gemara says, Ein Hochem Mamonach HaRov, not all roves are created equal. That's what you mean, right? That's basically what you mean. Not all roves are created equal. It can't be that there's an absolute statement across the board, Ein Hochem Mamonach HaRov. It can't be. Some roves, yeah, and some roves, no. The good, starker roves that you can kill people for, Kavachim, you can take Bimaitzi Mamon. The weak roves that you can't be matzimam, you attack, can't kill people. So says Tyson Sanhedrin of Gimel, the answer is abrisketer, two roves, not all roves are created equal. That's the aside from Tyson. So Tyson says it must be that all the Gemaras that talk about in Hochum Amnach HaRov, all the Gemaras in Shas, how many Gemaras? All of two, that speak about in Hochum Amnach HaRov, are all talking about shvacha roves. They're talking about weak types of roves. What are the two Gemaras? Who knows? What are the two cases in Shas? Not in Rishayim, not in Taizim. The two Gemaras in Shas about Enoch and Mamre. Who knows? Who knows what they are? Enoch and Mechure. No. One's in Bava Kama and one's in Bava Basra. What did I put on the Mamre Kamas, right? Didn't I put Bava Kama on the Mamre Kamas? What's Chavis and Katz? What's the story? I come to you and I say, okay, here's $100. I'm buying a barrel of wine from you. And you mask him. Very good. Okay, pay the $100 and show you. Next week, deliver me what? What do you deliver me? A little jug, a little jar of wine. I say, you got enough. I said, I paid you $100 for a barrel, and you're giving me a little jar, a little jug of wine. What's going on? So you turn around and you say, what do you mean? You said a chavis. This is a chavis, that was a chavis. There are big chavis and little chavises. I didn't cheat you. You never told me you had to be 40 ounces of wine. You said a chavis of wine. I'm delivering you a chavis of wine. This is also called a chavis. I say, Dos is a chavis? There's a kad. Is that a chavis? So we start fighting it out. I'm screaming, a kad is a kad and a chavis is a chavis. And you're screaming, kad, chavis, chavis, kad, it's all the same thing. Who wins the din Torah? What do you do? How would you begin? You're sitting on a din Torah, right? You're sitting as the dayan, and the two guys are screaming and fighting whether a kad is a kad, a chavis is a chavis, or the two terms are interchangeable. How would you begin to solve this dilemma? What would you do? Where would you have to go? Who would you have to ask? You got to go out into the street, you go to the wine market, and start asking people, how do you speak? What's the Lashon B'nai Adam? What's the understanding? What's the Heskim Adover? Is this called a Kad, called a Chavis? Who's telling the truth? So after doing that evaluation, Beis Din sends out their Shlichim to figure out what the facts are, and the facts returned are as follows. No? Mm-hmm. What are the facts? Most people, distinguish between the two, but some, 20% or so, some people use the terms interchangeable. Okay? So now, what do you do with that piece of information? So comes Rav and says, most people distinguish. That means, a rov. Rav holds hokum amnach harov. Therefore, the person who is trying to get away by giving me that little cheapy jug, he's going to lose the entire. And he's going to be forced to give me a whole big barrel. Because most people say that the terms are different. So when I said chavis, he said chavis, we meant the bigger one. That's what Rav says. And what does Shmuel say? You don't follow Rav. And therefore, who's the muchzuk, Rabbi say? Who's the muchzuk? Who's the muchzuk? I'm the man and give me my money back. And you say, no, I'm not giving you your money back. Here's a little jug and get lost. So the seller is the muchzuk. So the seller has the right to say, I hold like the miut. When I said chavis, I meant the kad. I meant the kad and the chavis. It's all the same thing. I said a big one. I didn't mean a big one. I meant a little one. So Shmuel says, Enoch Mamon Acharov, but he's going to win the din Torah. That's the original machlokes, okay? Enoch Mamon Acharov in the case of the chavis and kad scenario. What's the case of Basra? Anyone know? You give me a sixth pack? I sell you an ox, all right? I sell you an ox, charge $1,000 for an ox. Turns out the next day the ox is meshugim. Ox is crazy. He's practicing the bullfights. He's running around killing people. So you come to me and you say, it's a chamekachtos. I sold you an ox. I bought an ox of you, and there's something radically wrong with this ox. I can't use this ox. What am I supposed to do with this ox? It's crazy. I bought an ox in order to work. I can't keep it on the field. It's running around killing everybody. I want my money back. So make a chtos. What's my response? What's the mecha's response? I sold it to you to work. I sold it to you to shecht. You shecht it today, and you'll eat the meat. What's the difference whether it's a crazy ox or not? Meat's still good. So now we're fighting it out. So I claim that I sold it to you for the purpose of meat. And you claim you sold it for the purpose of work. Who has the upper hand? What do you got to do? You got to go out to the marketplace, ask the ox dealers, and ask them, what's the oilam do? Do people sell oxen in this place for work? They sell it for meat. So we do our research, and what does our research come up with? Most people sell it for work, and a few people sell it for meat. So comes Rav and says, you follow the rive? Since most people sell it for work, it's taka mekechtos. How in the world is the guy going to work with this ox? The ox is crazy. It's killing everybody. So Rav says, Ochem Amrach Arayv, therefore he gets his money back. And Shmuel says, no. Shmuel says, Ein Ochem Amrach Arayv, because since some people sell for shechita, so the meicher has the right to say, listen, I'm from that miut. Ein Ochem Amrach Arayv, I'm not going to give you your money back. So that's the second case, Machlok is Rav and Shmuel. Okay, so far, everyone's with us? So far, so good? So you have meicher, Shor Lechaveirai, Okay, those are two cases. Comes Tais and Sanhedrin and says, these two cases, ain't Hochem Amrach Harayv, because these are what? These are very, very shvach arose. Shvach in Yiddish, not in Hebrew. Shvach in Hebrew means good, shvach in Yiddish means bad. These are very, very shvach arose. These are very, very weak roves. These roves, Enochim Amracha rove. But Gevaldika roves, like rove Noshim Ein and Islandus is, those are super duper 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 roves, and you can be Mitzi Mamim based on rove. Who's going to give me a beer? Who's going to tell me what's flying? What does Taisus mean? Sister Terra. You started the ball rolling. You said, Miyot to Miyot, and you got to explain it. Can't leave you hanging. No, who's going to explain to Shram Taisus? My Imanishtan of these roves. Taisus just got. Everyone saw the Taisus? No one saw the Taisus. It wasn't on Imanim Kermis. The Taisus and Hedron does say that these two roves are rove Garua. These are Shvacha roves. But really, really good roves. Taka Hochel Mamanachar Rev.
The two roves.
Otazo, you figured it out, you remember we said it in Shirons. Figured it out on your own? You're a Sheish Maitza man. Okay? Comes the Sheish Maitza and says, these two robes are very, very shaky robes because they come and go. They're cultural robes. They depend on their robe, Hatoli Bedas Bnei Adam. In one place, let's say if you live in New York, so then probably most people sell oxen for the purposes of meat. If you live in Texas, so then maybe most people sell oxen for the purpose of work. Chavis and Kad, depends where you live. If you live in some places, they're the same. So these are roves that are easy come, easy go. They're roves which are not toli b'teva oilam. They're roves which are toli b'das b'nei adam. So the Sheish Maitza quotes a Ramban in Maseches Kedushin that says that a rove that's toli b'das b'nei adam is a much, much weaker type of a rove. It's a rove garua. So what Taisa says in Sanhedrin is an unbelievable thing. This principle of Ein Hochem Amam Racha Harov, this Gevaldika principle took us 2 days of Shia, Ein Hochem Amam Racha Harov, it's not really true, says Taisa in Sanhedrin. It's only true by rove garuas, but by rove varis, by real bona fide roves, namely roves that toli b'teva ha'adam, b'teva ha'olam, things which are real, absolute, 100% bona fide, very, very strong, normal roves, holchim v'mamanach ha'arayv, just like holchim v'nefash tzach ha'arayv, according to Taisin Sanhedrin. Nope. Based on Taisin Sanhedrin, who's going to answer Taisin Ksubzis Kasha? Very, very different. Taisin Sprechta Kasha, why does Shomrona get a knas? Tepuklei in holchim v'mamanach ha'arayv. What's the answer? What's the answer? It's a Gevaldik rove. It's not a good rove. 90% of kusim are not b'nei shvachas. Every once in a while there's a shivcha thrown into the mix. That's not a shvacha rove. That's not a rove of toli b'das b'nei adam. That's not a rove garua. That's a rove bari. That's a geshmaka rove. I don't want to say miyut to demita because that's just a whole different concept, but you know what I mean. Same idea. That's a rove bari. It's a geshmaka rove. And that's the case. That's such a geshmaka rove. So then, of course, Hochel Mamanach HaRov. That's Shomrona's taina. You don't need Taisus anymore. Taisus greatest a cop with Chazokas. They got us so far off course with Chazokas. They made us say Shtekot Torahs about Ruben with Chazokas. They got us with Taisus with Chayrus with Pirbe Gadol. They got us all tzimished with a day and a half worth of Shiur. According to Taisus Sanhedrin, Kusha Nekor Leisa. This is a rove bari. A bari bari is Meitzi Mamin. Rabbi said, "Eidish Lema." Now we're on a roll. I'm going to give you another mahalach where you don't have to come on to our Taisus. Remember, Taisus said, "Hedrin was bothered with the kasha." How can you say in Hochel Mamanach HaRov if the Gemara said Hedrin says beferish that it can be kill people based on rov? How could that be? It doesn't make any sense. So Taisus said Hedrin said rov bari rov garua. Is there any other difference between the two cases? Is there any other way to explain why, on the one hand, Ein Hochel Mamanach HaRov in these two cases, that in Sanhedrin we kill people based on Rov? What is the difference? One is Rov Bar versus Garua. Any other similarity of these two Rovs? Is there any other difference we can highlight between the Rov in Sanhedrin of Rov Noshim Islandus in contrast to these Rovs? You're too close to Taisus and Sanhedrin. What you're saying is right, but what you're doing is that you're highlighting statistical roves. This is like a better rove, this is a lesser rove. I don't want a statistical difference in the roves. I want a very conceptual, very lumdish, analytical role that the rove is playing. Who can tell me? I want a difference between the roves of Chavis Kad, Moche Shor, in contrast to Islandus. Who's going to tell me? Who's going to highlight for me the difference?
Status, and then something else is coming in.
Oh, Tazoy. You made it up yourself? What? The Mechaber also Sheish Meitzen. There are two Sheish Meitzes here. Comes the Sheish Meitzen and says, I did such a great job in explaining the Tosfos and Sanhedrin, now I'm going to say my own pshat, says the Sheish Meitzen. I'm going to tell you what the Emes Lamito is, when Hochem Mamrach HaRov and when not. Says the Sheish Meitzen, there's a famous Rambam. Famous Rambam. We know you can't punish somebody based on Eid Echad, right? I just read it in this week's Pasha. Just read it last week, right? Well, Yochab Eid Echad B'ish, you can't kill the guy Malchus based on Eid Echad. Comes around and says, if an Eid Echad walks into Bezin and says, this guy ate Chazir, that's what he says. I saw Reuven eat Chazir, what do we do to the Eid Echad? Throw him into the where? Where do we throw the Eid Echad? Into the lake, right? Throw him into the lake. So it's a meaningless statement. Well, Yochab Eid Echad B'ish. What if an Eid Echad walks into Beis Din and says, you see that piece of meat over there? You guys don't even know what that piece of meat is. But I'm telling you it's Chazir. And then 10 minutes later, two Eidim walk in and say, we saw Reuven eat that piece of meat. What's the din? It's Chayav Malchus. What's the difference? I just got finished saying an Eid Echad isn't believed to give a guy Malchus. So if an Eid Echad isn't believed to give a Malchus, how come the Eid Echad is believed to identify that it's Chazir in the first place? What's the answer? Rambam or Sanhedrin? Who knows? Zok the Rambam. An Eid Echad is not believed to tell me that the Mais Aveira happened. That's the Gzeres HaKosel L'Yochab Eid Echad B'ish. But to create the facts on the ground prior to the Aveira being done on, Isser Atzmoy, Zok the Rambam. We'll say it together. Isser Atzmoy, Be'eid Echad Yuchsuk. Famous Klal in Rambam, Sanhedrin, Perek Yud Zayin. Isser atzmo be'eid echad yuchsuk. An eid echad has the ability to establish what the facts on the ground are, and then will be done on the din Torah subsequently. Comes the Sheish Meitzen and says, it's that Rambam that is the source for the difference between Eid Hochel Mamrach HaRoiv and the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Nu, who's going to explain it to me? Nu, let's hear it. Rabbi said, in the two cases of Eid Hochel Mamrach HaRoiv, what are we fighting about? What's the nekud of the fight? Explain to me the nekud of the fight. You're sitting on a din Torah. What are you listening to? You're hearing one guy say, a chavis is a kad is a chavis. And another guy say, no, a chavis is a chavis, a kad is a kad. That's the latest asofik. That's the din Torah. It's revolving around that piece of information. You want to go out to the marketplace and paskin up on that piece of information based on what? What halachic principle do you want to use to paskin that information? Rove. You want to use rove to paskin information? Can you do that? What's the klal? Come on, guys. Everyone's got to wake up. What's that called? Ein hochem mamrach harov. You can't use rov to pass it up a shalom dinim omenus. Over here, you have a latest asofik. I claim I bought it for shechting. You claim you bought it for work. You have a latest asofik. You want to go to the marketplace and use rov to pass it up what that animal was bought for. That's a violation of what? Ein hochem mamrach harov. What are you doing in Sanhedrin? The case of the islandess. What are you doing? Are you using Rove to determine whether the Aveira of Eishes Ish was violated? What are you doing? You're trying to figure out, was she in Eishes Ish in the first place? That's all you're doing. You're trying to figure out, was this Guru really Mekudeshes or not? So you have a suffix, because maybe it was a Mekachtos, maybe it wasn't. So we have to first determine, is she in Eishes Ish? That's prerequisite to the case. The Din Torah, the Din that the Bezin's sitting on in Sanhedrin is, was this guy Mazan or not? So for that, we don't need rope for that. We have two aides who will tell us. This guy was Mazana with this girl. You don't know whether this girl was an Eishes Ish. So that's predating the case. That's the prerequisite to the Din Torah. That's the Isser Atzmo be'eid Echad Yuchsuk. Comes the Sheish Meitzen and says, B'chi HaGavna, you follow rove. The same way you follow Eid Echad in Tosech Chazer, you follow rove to determine that she's an Eishes Ish. B'chlal's not a stira. It's B'chlal not a stira to the Gemara. So when the Gemara says, Eidoch HaMamrach HaRoiv, the Gemara's only talking about when it's a rove. Bidin Torah Atzmoy. When it's a row beforehand, pre the Din Torah, Yisr Atzmoy Be'ed Echad Yuchsuk. Famous Yisrael for Sheish Meitzen. Okay, so everybody say, who's with us so far? It's a complicated story, it's not so simple. Just a little bit of a show of hands, who's with us so far? Up here, you got a row. Okay. A very row, good row, I'm not sure. Okay. Everybody say, let's chaz for a second. Let's regroup for a second. We are searching for another answer to Tosfos' question. Tosfos asked Akasha, how could Shomrona get her knas it's only based on Rov and in Ochum Amracha Rov. So Tosfos said it's Rov plus Chazaka. We gave an answer, you don't need Rov plus Chazaka, it's a Rov Bari. Now the Sheish Shmaitz is saying, no. Come to Sheish Shmaitz and saying, Holchim B'mamracha Rov. You do follow Rov. When? What's the key according to Sheish Shmaitz? When do you follow Rov? When all the Rov is doing is predetermining what happened beforehand. If you're only invoking Rov to get the facts in the case before the case starts, then Holchim B'mamracha Rov. In Ksubis Tav Chavtes, what are you using Rov for? We're having a fight whether she claims she's not a Shivcha, he claims she may be a Shivcha. Is that the case itself? Is that the case? What is that? Prerequisites. That's the Yisra Atma Yerechidim. That's the pre-case. For pre-case, anything that's necessary before the case starts, Zav Tashay Shemaitza, of course you follow Rav. Avad you follow. That's the word in Sanhedrin about the Alanis. So according to this Yisra from Shay Shemaitza, we now have a whole new answer as to how she wins the Din Torah. She wins the Din Torah based on a simple Rov. But the Rov is not being used in the case proper. The Rov is being used pre the case. So Rabbi Sai, we have our original Kasha on the board. Okay? Back to the original Kasha. Mamish, back to the beginnings. There's such an easy sugya, Rabbi Sai, right? Who thinks it's an easy sugya? I didn't say it was an easy sugya. Fact number one. Baal HaKusis Chayav. Okay, if I say anything you don't agree with, or you don't understand, somebody please stop me. Baal HaKusis Chayav. Source for that? Good. Okay. What is the status of HaKusis? Gerei Emes. Source for that? Places. Okay? So far, so good. All right? Bala Shivcha? No? Bala Shivcha is what? Is Potter. What's the source for that? Shalmi. Okay? We have people defecting each line here, right? Rashi said disagreeing. We got whatever. So far, we're still learning Cheetah's Defenses, okay? Very, very simple presentation of this idea. All right? Potter. Kokusis Miot Shehi Shivcha. Who's that? I told you to make that up. Come on, somewhere in where? It's Kedusha. Okay? And Cain, if all these facts are right, 1, 2, 3, 4 are right, wait a second. Am I Mishalim Kanas? Because after all, Ein Holchin. Where'd that come from? That's Shmuel, right? That's Shmuel and Baba Kama, Baba Basra. This is basically Tosfos Kash, okay? This is the punchline of the sugya so far. This is Tosfos Kash, alright? So it took us 5 steps to get to the Kasha. Let's just think it through again, what I say. So Tosfos said, what's the next step in the sugya? What does Taisa say? Leave that to him. We'll just too complicated, okay? Threw us off for a loop. We'll come back to it later. Nope, what's Taisa's Taras? Come on, stick it through. Taisa says you have a Rov plus Chazaka, and that is Moitzi Mavon. Okay? Who is responsible for this? Right? Taisa said that, okay? We had issues with that. We had a lot of issues. What were some of our issues? Who remembers? We had a problem. Who says there's really a Chazaka here? Right? Chazaka of Avos, we weren't exactly sure. Who solved that problem for us? Rebbe Shurim, okay? So Rebbe Chanan solved the day for that one. We had another problem, right? These are our problems in Tosfos, right? Know what was the other problem? Why does Rov plus Chazaka Motzi Mavon, right? Why exactly is that true? So what do we have to come up with to solve this problem? The Pnei Yeshua didn't help us, and the Sheish Shmaitz didn't help us. But who solved this problem? Who helped us? The Prima Gadim, okay? Right? So we're back in business, all right? But now we're saying, wait a second, we don't need this whole Mahalach. We had a Kasha. We don't need this whole Mahalach over here. This was Taisa's Mahalach, but we're going to go a different Mahalach, okay? We're going to go our own way. What's our own way? We're going to say, V'aydi Yishloimit at Taisa's Kasha, that maybe, Arayv Gomor, you can be Motzi Mammon. You don't need Chazok, but as a Rav Mammon, you can be Motzi Mammon. And who do we have to thank for that? Taisa's in Sanhedrin, okay? What forced Taisa's to say the Shtichel Torah that Rav Gomor is different? What was that, right? It was the problem from the islandists. The difference, what's the difference between the islandists and the regular Enochim Mammon, right? Okay, that was the problem, that was the impetus for this Taisus to say that Rav Gomer is Motzi Mammon. Alright? So this was Teretz number two. Okay, so this is Teretz number one to Taisus' problem. This is Teretz number two to Taisus' problem that we're making up. And now we're having Teretz number three, which is the tenth part of the Sugya, in case the numbers are confusing you, don't worry about it. What's the next Mahalach? That we're saying, no, a whole different story. Not Rav Gomer versus not Rav Gomer, but it's a Rav Kodem Hamaisa, in effect. And who do we have to thank for Rav Kodem Hamaisa? You have the Shev Shmaitza. And where did the Shev Shmaitza get it from? From the same what? From the Rambam, based on the Rambam. And it's to solve the same what? The same Islandist Enoch Rumaman dilemma, right? The same, here we'll save ourselves some room. It's the same problem, right? This is all based on the Shev Shmaitza. It was to solve the same problem. So either way you solve the Islandist / Enoch Rumaman Harov dilemma, either way is going to be helpful for you in terms of our sugya. So far, Abai said there were three simple mahalachim to our sugya. One kash of Taisus. First mahalach was Taisus' long-winded answer with all the complications. And then we have the much simpler answers. Again, either 9 or 10, which the similarity is that they're both coming to solve the same problem of what happened to the island of sugya, with different nuances. Taisus is one mahalach, Shmaitz is the other mahalach. Either one of them will solve our dilemma, right? Everyone's happy? Gevaldik, right? Guys, everyone should be jumping for joy, right? Almost. But basically, we still have one point left in the sugya. Sharona's really happy. She just got her knas. She's just about to win the case. About to get her knas. Because she's got a rove. She's got a rove with a chazoka. She's got a rove with a bori. She's got a this. She's got a that. She's got another thing. She is just jumping for joy. She's got a rove. Really? She's got a rove? What did Taisus ignore? Taisus, the eight steps to give you an answer why the rove works, they ignored the second half of their own kasha. Taisus on Sunday, they didn't come to Shir on Sunday. It was Labor Day weekend and then France also. He said, Taisus, when they originally formulated the kasha, said, hey, wait a second. Shomrona should not get her money for one of two reasons. Either she shouldn't get her money because all she has is the robe, and Ochel Manach robe, and then to make matters worse, what did Taisus say? She doesn't even have a robe because Kavua. And Kavua Kamech to Metzadami. So when all said and done, Rabbi Say, I can't even do this. It's just breaking my heart to do it, but I'm going to have to do it, Rabbi Say. I'm just going to have to do it. I don't care about robes. Please don't take that out of context, okay? I don't care, but give me all the robes in the world. There's no robe on this blackboard. There is no robe on this blackboard because there's Kavua. So he's listening to her. She's talking blue in the face. She just gave a whole shiur talk for 3 days of shiur to explain why she wins the entire. She's got robes and chazokas and maises and stories and ala chagajas. And he looks at her straight in the face and he says, lady, you forgot Simon Kuf Yud and Yerodea. You forgot the din of Kavua. You got nothing on your side. Now, if she's really smart, she'll tell you, well, it's not Nikra Isser, so it's not really Kavua, but she's not that smart. So, Rabbi, you gotta hang in there one more day. It's been a long sugya. Gotta hang in there one more day. Hopefully, Mitzvah tomorrow, the beginning of Shia, we'll try to come up with some kind of a solution to what happened to the string that's missing in the sugya. There's one thread missing in the sugya. The second half of Taisus' kasha got lost in the shuffle. Taisus thought we'd forget about it. They confused us so much, they thought we'd forget about the kasha. Can't let the Baal Taisus go by. Hope Mitzvah will touch up in the end of the sugya tomorrow, and then we'll be able to start off the next sugya.